Welcome to Locked On NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News and host of Locked On Warriors, here with Dave Vermil, the host of Locked On Heat. And on today's show, we go through every NBA team and discuss one thing that they can do this offseason to improve their team.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
David, we are trying something highly ambitious today. We'll see how it goes. It might not end well. It could end up being a car crash, or it could end up being really efficient. We'll see. But we are going to go through all 30 NBA teams. You took the 15 teams in the Eastern Conference, and I took the 15 teams in the Western Conference. And we are just going to name one thing that they can do, whether it be in free agency, the draft, or via trade, that they can do to improve their team. We're going to go in alphabetical order. Might as well start with the Eastern Conference. You're up first with Atlanta. What should they do?
Add Kyle Lowry. I think with Trae Young being young, still raw, a little turnover prone to also being a guy who's a prolific scorer, you can acquire a guy like Lowry to settle things down, add a veteran presence, and make a strong push for the postseason. It's something that the Hawks need. I think for Lowry, with things looking a little glum in Toronto as far as their outlook for next season, their title window's probably closed. I think it's a good change of pace for him, and he could, again, add that veteran presence, the experience of winning a championship, and settle down a young, exciting Hawks team and help push them into a postseason berth.
I think that's the right way to go for Atlanta and acquiring some sort of veteran presence, too. Just whether it be Lowry or whoever, it's time to start bracketing guys like Trae Young and these guys with some veterans. They already did the Clint Capella thing. I think that's going to be important for a team that looks to make the playoffs next year. My team is Dallas, and I have them just drafting Precious Achiuwa, the Memphis center. They're sitting there at number 18. They also have the 31st pick, so the first pick in the second round, which is usually pretty valuable. So if he's not there at number 18, they can always use 18 and 31 to move up. But as far as what the Mavericks need, I don't have them making some sort of crazy move, right? Just stick with what you got. Let Luka continue to develop. You don't know how Dwight Powell is going to come back from this injury. We know how important it is for Luka to have a pick and roll partner. I think Precious Achiuwa projects as maybe the best pick and roll player available in anywhere Dallas is going to be selecting. And I think it's helpful to get a young guy as opposed to trying to do that in free agency. Even if like a guy like Nerlens Noel or something is out there, I like Achiuwa. It's a 7'2" foot wingspan, a lot of defensive upside too. And when you're Dallas, you're just stocking up on young players who can play well next to Luka and potentially be assets down the line in the case of a trade. Where do you go next?
Well, I'm at Boston, and for me, the move is to add Miles Turner. You can trade Gordon Hayward back to Indiana, where he played college ball. I know it kind of breaks up that relationship with Brad Stevens, but at the same time, you add a big. You can still keep Daniel Tice, who's a great complementary player off the bench. It adds the length that they've been looking for in Beantown for a long time. I know Bostonians hate that nickname, but I felt like using it anyway. At the same time, I think for Indiana, they can get a competent wing scorer, another guy to play off of TJ Warren. I think it's a great veteran, a guy who knows how to help push this team forward. No health issues of a concern, but it kind of frees up that front court of Turner and Domantas Sabonis so that you can make Sabonis the focal point of the offense moving forward. I think it's a win-win for both teams.
Yeah, I love that move. And like you said, you're getting a stretch five in Boston, something they could definitely use, and you're getting sort of this new lead guy in Indiana who's a hometown favorite. My next one's Denver, and I don't do anything. Just don't screw it up, right? Like, unless the Jrue Holiday trade is out there and they're willing, and the New Orleans is willing to take, you know, a couple of minor draft picks and Gary Harris or some other stuff, but don't move off of Michael Porter Jr. just yet. Let Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray continue to develop. Carve out more playing time for Michael Porter Jr. That's your core going forward. You've got nice pieces around them, guys like Will Barton and et cetera. You know, you're going to have to replace guys like Mason Plumlee and Paul Millsap. You know, you probably want to bring back Jeremy Grant, but probably not for a ton of money. Just don't overreact to anything. Just continue building around your core. Don't freak out. Don't make any major moves unless the obvious move is out there, which just doesn't seem to be right now.
If there's a focal point positionally that they need to improve, what would you say it is? Is it a ball handler, a wing, or a big man?
Just keep adding bigs who can play next to Nikola Jokic, just because Paul Millsap and Mason Plumlee might not be back next year. So if you're going to have to replace them, make sure you go ahead and you're able to replace them with defensive-minded bigs.
There you go. I'm moving on to Brooklyn. I talked about them last week, so make sure you go ahead and check out that episode as well. But I think they should keep Joe Harris. We talked about their talent level being so high there. And when it comes to highly talented players, as you know from covering the Warriors, it's also essential to keep the right role players. You get a guy like Harris, no ego on him, really. I mean, substantially just enough to make the NBA, but at the same time, he understands how to fill a role. I think his upbringing, the way he's come up into being a competent role player in the league, helps him fit alongside those big-time personalities and Durant and Kyrie Irving, and he understands how to do what he does best, which is space the floor, work hard, continue to contribute at a high level, and be a complementary role player. So when you have that kind of understanding that you have a role to fill, and you have a guy like Harris who has traditionally been able to fill it very well, he seems like he's a perfect fit here for a team that has legitimate title aspirations.
And then I move on to Golden State next. And I think they just need to use their mid-level exception on Danilo Gallinari or Marc Gasol. And of course, that's predicated on one of them accepting the mid-level exception. I think Gasol might be more willing than Gallinari, but Gallinari recently said he's going to favor winning more than he wants more money. I think he's made something like $115 million in his career, hasn't really won on a high level. Maybe now is the time on a one-year deal to go ahead and chase a championship. The Warriors have a need for size and scoring on the perimeter. You can easily see Gallinari at 6'10", sort of replacing that Kevin Durant type of role, playing next to Draymond Green in a small ball front court to close games. And if you're the Warriors, if you can have a borderline all-star like Gallinari doing an impression of an all-NBA talent like Kevin Durant, that's not that bad of a downgrade, you know what I mean? And I think he would round out their starting lineup or their small ball, their closing lineup, rather, pretty well. And if you're the Warriors and he's willing to do that, I think that'd be a home run, regardless of what they do with the number two pick or what they do with this trade exception or you know, whoever they sign the veteran minimums.
It's interesting. I think it's a great fit there, so it makes a lot of sense. And there have already been rumblings that there's mutual interest there, so it would seem like you're right on the same path as the Warriors are. But I'm moving on to the Charlotte Hornets. For them, just draft James Wiseman. I'm not sure I'm a believer. I don't know anybody is a firm believer in Wiseman's abilities to translate to the NBA level, but it just feels like they need something, a young player to rally around, to form the semblance of an identity there with the Hornets. They feel like they've been so stuck in mediocrity for such a long time. Even when they had an all-star level talent like Kemba Walker, they just haven't been very good. Hopefully Wiseman makes the leap, and if so, he's the young player you can build around, you can kind of gravitate towards, and I think you can kind of start to build around. They've got some good wing pieces there. Maybe they can add a couple others through free agency, but they need rebounding, they need size in the interior, and I think Wiseman helps provide that.
I think Wiseman's a great fit in Charlotte, and I'm glad you bring that up because I have a team later on that I think should call Charlotte. Actually, the team right now, Houston, they need to call Charlotte and ask if they are willing to listen to Russell Westbrook trade offers. Bring this up. The Hornets are owned by Michael Jordan. Russell Westbrook is the biggest Jordan-sponsored player in the NBA. Would they be willing, the Hornets, having drafted James Wiseman, pairing him up with a pick-and-roll partner like Russell Westbrook, all you would probably have to move off of is Terry Rozier, who had a sneaky good season, and Cody Zeller, who's got an expiring contract just to match salary. If you're Houston, you add some size in Cody Zeller. You add maybe a more natural fit next to James Harden and Terry Rozier. You get off of Russell Westbrook, and I guess if you're the Hornets, you get Russell Westbrook, a new face of the franchise who can help usher James Wiseman along.
I love it. I mean, Charlotte, again, mediocre, lacking a clear superstar as far as helping them to become a standout team in the league. Nobody even recognizes anybody on their roster except for the most hardcore NBA fans, unfortunately. It's not to knock the Hornets organization, but they've just been stuck in that wheel of mediocrity for a long time. This finally provides them a well-known superstar, a guy who has an MVP trophy there on his resume, so it makes a lot of sense. For me, the last team I'm covering this segment, the Chicago Bulls. They've got some nice players there. They've got a new coach. They've got a new front office. Makes sense to get a player there with some veteran leadership, some championship experience. Add Fred VanVleet. I think he's a great fit there. I know we've talked about a lot of teams would love to add a talent like VanVleet, but he makes sense there. I think he could be a guy that can help provide some stability. They've lacked that. They have a lot of talent there, but nobody, I think, in a long time that has that kind of veteran mentorship to be able to guide them. And while VanVleet is still young, he learned from one of the best in Lowry, and he can help stabilize an organization alongside Billy Donovan when he takes over as head coach.
And you're not wondering about whether or not he can fit next to Coby White, which is something you hear a lot when you hear about other point guards rumored to Chicago's. And he brings, like you said, that veteran presence and a winning experience. And maybe he can bring that to Chicago because God knows they haven't had that in a long time. The Clippers, just go out and trade for Derrick Rose. I think that that would be probably a perfect fit for LA based on who is realistic that they can get. You need a ball handler next to Kawhi Leonard. I think that's been proven out. In this last postseason, Paul George is not a guy that you want running your offense. Kawhi Leonard can do it in crunch time and stuff like that, but he really thrives when he has another primary ball handler that he's playing off of. And Derrick Rose had a good year for Detroit last season. He's sort of revived his career. He's streaky from three-point range. He could try hard defensively every once in a while, but he's still going to get taken advantage. You don't worry about that as much when you have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard also there on the perimeter. It's time to trade a guy like Patrick Beverley or something like that, who's more defensive-minded, for a ball creator like Derrick Rose. I think that that would be my number one target if I were the Clippers. But coming up next, what the Lakers can do to improve their championship-winning roster. But first, David, tell them about Built Go.
Well, if you're looking to improve your day, make sure that you avoid hitting that wall. Mine usually hits me in the early evening when I'm tired from work and playing with my son. He's a 2-year-old. Believe me, I could use the extra energy. But whatever your wall is or whatever it hits, Built Go is the solution. It's a healthy replacement to energy drinks, but without any of the fake additives, just natural ingredients that last. They come in 1.5-ounce packages that are easy to carry whenever your wall hits you, at a meeting at work or to power through a workout, or even if you're dealing with a toddler. Just put it in your pocket and get through your day. It's the best workout gel on the market, and it comes in 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. So how does Built Go work so well? It combines energy gel with collagen protein that gets absorbed into your system quickly, using vitamins, nutrients, honey, and just a kick of caffeine to keep you going strong while strengthening joints, soft tissues, hair, and skin. So you feel good and you look good too. So visit BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. So use the promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go.
All right, continuing on with one thing every NBA team needs to do to improve their roster this offseason, and we start with the Lakers here. Pretty simple, David. Go out and sign a stretch five. I know that we were very impressed with everything that JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard did playing next to Anthony Davis, especially, you know, for a team that won the finals, right? So it's hard to critique what they did very much. But for the balance of the season, Anthony Davis at the four, playing next to a traditional center, really didn't work all that well. I think that they could go out, find a center who can shoot some threes and do this. We're already hearing some scuttle about them being very interested in Serge Ibaka. I think that would be a home run fit. We'll see if Toronto doesn't give him some sort of godfather offer for 1 year just to stay there and you know, maintain their roster continuity. But even guys like Myers Leonard or Aaron Baines or something like that would be a more natural fit next to Anthony Davis. And you're obviously stretching the floor, which is always good when you're playing on a LeBron James team. So go ahead, go out and sign a stretch five. The Lakers are going to, they're the champions. Players are going to want to play for them. They should have some options.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, the Lakers, it seems like a lot of people seem to think that they have their pick of anybody, that they could just add any player on available on the market, but that's clearly not the case. So this is the move that helps shore up some of their weaknesses and keeps them in the title contention for next year. Unfortunately, there are teams that are not in the title hunt, and that includes the Cleveland Cavaliers. My choice for them is to find a way to sign Hassan Whiteside. And I say this somewhat jokingly, Wes, as you well know, having covered the Heat for as long as I have. It's the Whiteside experience can be a difficult one, but the Cavaliers, they need some interior presence. They need some shot blocking. They need some rebounding. And Whiteside has experience putting up really, really empty stats on bad teams. And so I think he's a great fit there. If you find a way to shore up the rest of your weak spots by trading Andre Drummond somehow, maybe do a sign and trade with the Portland Trailblazers where you could get a pick back or something along those lines. Who knows? But Whiteside helps fill in that gap. You can steer your perimeter defense towards, funnel it towards the rim where he's known for being able to attack and shot and block shots fairly easily. And he'll put up the big points. I think he's on his way out after having gotten paid a lot of money. I know some people project that he'll make a lot of money this season. I don't see it. I think you can get Whiteside relatively cheaply. And again, he's a guy who can put up a lot of stats on losing teams.
Wouldn't shock me if Whiteside's somewhere for the minimum this year, which, look, he was overrated. He probably wasn't deserving of a $20 million contract, but as a minimum guy, he's a good spot starter for you. So you think the Cavaliers would probably end up trading Andre Drummond and then just sort of backfilling that role with a guy like Whiteside? It's
not bad. Yep. Yeah.
I've got Memphis here, and this was a tough team for me because I know they're not very good, but they don't really need to do anything immediately either, right? It's pretty clear where the direction that team is going. Ja Morant is running your offense. Jaren Jackson Jr. is one of the next generation of bigs, and they've really got something there. And they've also got Brandon Clark there at power forward. I like their other pieces, like Dylan Brooks. They acquired Justice Winslow at the trade deadline. Like, I like these other pieces that they have, so nothing crazy. One thing I would do if I were the Grizzlies, start kicking the tires on Jonas Valanciunas and what that trade market might be for him. He's got two more years left on his contract, $15 million-ish per season. Really good year for them. Started shooting threes a little bit. He's an incredible rebounder, especially on the offensive glass. I think he can help a team. And Memphis might be able to get a first-round pick or something back for him, especially if some of these other centers who are out there, like Drummond, making $27 million, and some of these other – Steven Adams, $27 million. At $15 million, Valanciunas is a little bit cheaper than those guys, maybe a little bit more gettable. I would see what the trade interest around the league for him is.
Yeah, it's interesting. Do you have any concerns about Jaren Jackson Jr.'s health moving forward? I know it was a pretty ugly injury, and I think that's a huge issue for the Grizzlies next season.
Yeah, I think that's why you probably want somebody to backfill Valanciunas. But, if you're that concerned about Jaren Jackson Jr., you might as well just cut bait now. I don't think that anybody's that concerned about him. Maybe it's worth keeping Valanciunas on for another year. You can always trade him a year from now.
Yeah.
That's why I said I had nothing else really here other than maybe trying to get the most value you can out of him for now.
Well, speaking about bad value, I move on to the Detroit Pistons, who should obviously trade Blake Griffin. I know we're doing our best to piss off 30 different franchises here, and I'm sure Pistons fans will probably hate this suggestion at all, but I don't see what Griffin's future there is. You look at the Pistons, and I can't identify a single thing about them worth kind of focusing any sort of optimism on. You have a star in Griffin who can't seem to stay healthy, who can't seem to be the centerpiece of your team. He's clearly talented. He's been able to adapt and evolve his game to expand his range and do everything else. He's an unheralded playmaker. But at the same time, he's not the central guy for any winning team. He just hasn't been throughout his career. So time to move on, cut bait, see what you can get for Griffin and his bad contract, and just hopefully you can find something of equal value.
It's hard to find Blake Griffin landing spots, though, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
I've done the Blake Griffin trade machine deep dive. It's not easy. And the only teams that make sense are teams that have, kind of a championship mandate right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know, what, like, Lakers, Clippers, like, what are they going to move? I think Denver, for them, like I said before, don't do anything that short-sighted. Maybe a team like Utah makes sense if they're really that desperate. Like, could you trade Rudy Gobert for Blake Griffin? But that doesn't seem like a smart thing for the Jazz to do. Can you move some other parts and play Blake Griffin next to Rudy Gobert? I guess maybe that's a way to sort of shake things up and make a move. I don't know, like, that gets you over the top in the Western Conference, though. Like, it's hard to find a Blake Griffin trade.
I know. I wasn't even thinking about it right now. Maybe the Heat, Andre Iguodala, Kelly Olynyk, and try and package that. I just don't see why you'd want. I mean, he's a star power. He's a big name there. He stretches the floor again. He's got some athleticism, yeah, even at this point in his career. But you're right. There's just not a lot of places that could accept that huge salary.
For Minnesota, pretty simple here. Just go out and sign Derek Favors. You need a defensive presence in the middle. You need rebounding help in the middle. You need a veteran presence. You're going to have about $13 million in cap space as it is. That's right about where Derek Favors should probably end up signing for. Just go out and get him. Just get somebody to solidify just that soft, mushy middle part of your team. And he would be a great pick and roll partner for D'Angelo Russell. I think he's found ways to play next to different kinds of centers in his career. I have no concern about him playing next to Karl-Anthony Towns. I know that Minnesota fans think that Karl-Anthony Towns is the center of the future or should be playing center full time. Maybe that's the case. But you look in the West and teams that play big, like the Lakers, are doing well. Denver, same thing. I think you could afford to play big with Karl-Anthony Towns and his shot-making ability from the perimeter. Just go out and sign Derek Favors and just get a muscle presence in the middle of your team.
I love it. It's a great fit there. I think it makes a lot of sense, and I'm sure Jazz fans would love to see him a couple times a year when they play each other. So it's a great move for all teams. For the Indiana Pacers, this one's a little bit more lighthearted, rather. Just trade for Jrue Holiday. You've already got the two Holiday brothers on there. Just add the third, get the full set. I think it makes a lot of sense, though. I mean, he's a good combo guard, a guy who's been a steady you know, competitor throughout his career. He's never been very, very great, although he's a solid defender. But if you can find a way to trade Victor Oladipo, who seems like he's likely out of Indiana anyway, you get a guy who can replace him in Jrue Holiday, and I think it's a great fit there. And again, if you're retooling your team around Hayward, if you trade Miles Turner, you need somebody else to provide a little bit of defense and scoring punch. I think you can get a guy like Holiday, and it makes a lot of sense there.
Could you trade, if you don't do the Miles Turner for Hayward trade, trade Miles Turner to New Orleans for Jrue Holiday? That seems like a good fit. A stretch five next to Zion Williamson?
Yeah, especially if they don't re-sign Favors, which seems unlikely.
Speaking of New Orleans, go trade Jrue Holiday. I have them trading him to the Hawks for number six, Kevin Huerter, and Dwayne Dedman. If you're Atlanta, you don't really need the number six pick. You want to take a leap. You mentioned Atlanta getting a veteran earlier in the show. I think Jrue Holiday would be a perfect fit next to Trae Young. Not only is an all-NBA level defender, but he can also take some ball handling responsibility. He can run the offense while Trae Young is on the bench. And he provides some of that winning mentality and some of that playoff experience. And then if you're New Orleans, you get the number six pick in a draft. You're already rebuilding. That's a nice little asset to pair along with your 13th pick. You could potentially package number six and number 13 to move up in the draft if there's somebody you're targeting. And then you get a nice player like Kevin Huerter, who as a 3-and-D wing makes sense on that team. That's what you're going to build around with Zion Williamson. And Dwayne Dedman, another stretch five type, who on an expiring contract is really just there to make the salaries work. But not you're getting a couple depth pieces plus the number six to continue adding to that roster.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Moving on to the NBA finalists, Miami Heat. A lot of fans would want to hear this, but I think their best move is to add Serge Ibaka. They're likely to lose Jay Crowder in free agency. They're probably going to lose Myers Leonard, who wants a bigger role than he probably deserves with Miami. And so if that's the case, you need to be able to shore up that front court. And I think Ibaka, with his championship experience, his commitment to doing the work, his ability to stretch the floor and provide a strong rebounding and shot-blocking presence, is a great complement to Bam Adebayo. It's an ideal fit there, a guy who could make a lot of sense in Miami. I think you're going to probably see this team have to make some adjustments to their rotation, given the fact that they have such a short turnaround in between seasons. So you bring in a guy like Ibaka, you can afford to sit Bam a couple of games here and there so he doesn't risk injury if you're making another postseason push. And it keeps your championship aspirations alive, however unlikely they might be.
And so you would, I guess, play Ibaka and Bam together in the front court would be the idea. Yes. I like that, but it's pretty clear that the market for Ibaka is going to be pretty robust. And that's only if Toronto doesn't just, you know, they've got his bird rights. They can give him $20 million for a year, much like Miami can just overpay Goran Dragic for 1 year. Both teams would just maintain their cap flexibility for next summer as they chase Giannis and keep some of their veteran presences there. I love Paul Millsap as a potential Heat target too. Maybe you can play him next to Bam, or you can just bring him off the bench next to Bam if you're able to bring back Jay Crowder and you just maintain that playoff lineup.
So there's been some discussion of splitting the MLE, the mid-level exception there, between Millsap and Wes Matthews, who of course knows Jimmy Butler from Marquette University. He's another guy who can provide some wing defense and stretch the floor as well. So those two would be great fits. If you can't get Ibaka somehow, I think that's the next target.
I love it. Oklahoma City, don't rush to rebuild, but you should probably trade Steven Adams to a team looking to add size, right? So I know that the big name with the Thunder is Chris Paul. Just because you lose Billy Donovan doesn't mean all of a sudden you need to rebuild the team. They've already have been rebuilding after trading Paul George and Russell Westbrook. They go to the playoffs. That's not bad, right? Rebuilding teams that go to the playoffs, it's not bad. The Thunder have a track record at least of drafting well. I think if you can trade Steven Adams to get more draft picks, maybe even move up in this draft to add somebody to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Lu Dort and that group that and Darius Bazley and the guys that they're building around. Maybe now is time to go ahead and trade Steven Adams. And then you can keep Chris Paul for a while. Maybe you continue to boost his trade value. To me, it's just going to be really hard to find good value for Chris Paul given what his contract is. If you can, do it. But I think you're going to be able to find some decent value for Steven Adams on the open market because he's a good player who can shore up a lot of defenses. And you know, as we're going through, there's a lot of teams that need help defensively.
All right, I've got the Milwaukee Bucks. Obviously, they're looking to impress Giannis Antetokounmpo as much as possible, hoping that he'll sign an extension. Make a move. Make a big move. Try to get Victor Oladipo. I know there are concerns about his health. I think he can address those, given the fact that he hasn't played much over the last few months. I think he's probably going to be as close to full strength as you're going to get, and you get a guy who can be a playmaker, a shot creator, He can knock down some shots. He can play defense at a high level. He's a great complement. If you can move Eric Bledsoe's contract somehow, maybe a couple other players or maybe a pick or two, you can get a guy like Oladipo, another complimentary star to play alongside Adetokounmpo when you have so much of a need to create offense. It can't just be throw the ball to Adetokounmpo and watch him go downhill, because teams will start to figure out steadily but surely that you can build that wall and limit what he does. I don't think Middleton is that player, as great as he is. So you need somebody else to create offense for you. You get a guy like Oladipo, and all of a sudden your problems are all solved.
And he's on an expiring contract. So if you don't sign him to an extension and Giannis leaves, you can let Oladipo walk too and completely tear the thing down and rebuild, right? So that's not absolutely bad. And you get off the Bledsoe contract potentially. Coming up, what do the Trailblazers need to do to get back into the championship conversation? This is Locked On NBA. All right, wrapping up with our last five teams each here, David. I'm starting here with Phoenix. I've got a trade proposal.
All right.
Trade Kelly Oubre and the 10th pick in the draft to Cleveland for Larry Nance Jr. and the 5th pick in the draft. And here, my logic for that is Cleveland can use some scoring help on the perimeter, especially some size. I think Oubre would be a nice fit there. They'd like to stay into the lottery. I don't think Cleveland's very interested in trading up, but maybe they'd be interested in moving down. You get the 10th pick, Kelly Oubre, you start to shore up your perimeter and build around that young backcourt of Sexton and Garland. And then if you're Phoenix, you add Larry Nance Jr., a nice rim-running athletic center. You might be losing Aaron Baines this offseason, so you're going to need some depth there at the position with DeAndre Ayton already there. And then you move up to number 5, because I think the perfect fit for them is Tyrese Haliburton in this draft. You want to stay young if you're the Suns. Like, you don't want to completely push all the chips in and overreact to that 8-0 bubble stretch. But so you want to add a young player who makes sense, but you also want a player who can help you win now, right? You don't want a complete project. To me, that's Tyrese Haliburton. He is an adult. He can come in and help run an NBA offense in day one. I really believe that. He can stretch the floor. He can guard on the perimeter. You love his attitude. If you like where the Suns are going, I think Tyrese Haliburton would be a natural fit there. Plus, you get some depth at center, and then you trade Kelly Oubre before he becomes a free agent next season.
Somewhat unintentional, you get Larry Nance Jr. back where his dad played his best basketball too. So I think that would be a nice touch, a nice bookend on a great career there. So moving on to the New York Knicks. Boy, they need everything. So why not just trade for a superstar, a big name, a guy who can help put an identity on your franchise? You've got a new coach. Who knows what's going to happen with that? Trade for James Harden. Why the hell not? At this time, you know, Harden probably looking to get out of Houston, although he's got it comfortably there, and he's probably not going to get as much of things going his way with the Knicks as he does in Houston. But you can get a high-level score to complement all those power forwards and some of the weaknesses on that team. You trade whoever you have to get in order to get a guy like Harden. I think he provides that identity. I'd love to see what that fit is with Tibbs and Harden. I don't think it's a great one, but why not have some fun with it? Just get a big name there, somebody that you can say, hey, at least he's the Knicks' best player. I don't think you had that in Carmelo, even during his best seasons. He was never quite that superstar. There were always the same questions about whether or not he could play defense at a high level or carry your team to an actual substantive winning. So with Harden, you get kind of the same thing. Why not just go ahead and duplicate the process?
That's the Knicks' way. Why not? For Portland, really small, but I think effective move for both teams involved. Trade Zach Collins to Houston for PJ Tucker. For Portland, you've been searching for the right power forward for years, somebody who is defensive-minded, who can stretch the floor and do all these things. I think PJ Tucker would be a perfect fit. You look at what's going on in Houston, I think they're willing to shake some things up, maybe not to the degree of trading James Harden, but certainly to the degree of maybe moving PJ Tucker. And they don't have any centers on the roster. If you put Zach Collins on that team, a guy with a ton of potential who Portland likes but just has had a hard time tapping into that potential. They've got Yusuf Nurkic there, which is only going to make it harder. It might be time for Portland to cut bait on Zach Collins. He's got some three-point shooting potential at the five. He's got really good ball skills. I think guys like that would thrive next to James Harden. I think it's a perfect fit, and it improves both teams rather immediately.
Yeah, I like it. I'm moving on to the Orlando Magic. Move Aaron Gordon. You could probably end it there, but I've actually got Gordon going to San Antonio in exchange for DeMar DeRozan. Doesn't seem very likely. Maybe you can include Derek White in there because they need some help at point guard. I don't think Markelle Fultz is the legitimate answer as much as Magic top brass will sell you on that. So if you can move Gordon and maybe another player there, you can get DeRozan and White to help shore up that backcourt. You can move Evan Fournier if you sign him to a deal where he's probably more effective coming off the bench as a potent scorer. I think it makes a lot of sense. Look, and you're probably punting on this season anyway, as if you're Orlando. Without Jonathan Isaac, you're not going to be able to make a legitimate push there, but you've got some nice pieces. You can move Gordon. The experiment has not worked. I think there's a way that maybe Coach Popovich could get that talent. And there is talent and athleticism there, and I think there's even a high level of work ethic. And just get him to focus on becoming a legitimate star because I think he has that ability. So I think it's a win-win for both teams.
Aaron Gordon's such an interesting name to watch this offseason because I think he really needs a change of scenery pretty badly.
Oh, yeah.
It's just not working in Orlando. Like you said, they seem to be all in on Jonathan Isaac, so why prolong the inevitable? I know Isaac's not going to be playing this year, but Aaron Gordon doesn't really seem to be a long-term answer there. It's time for both to sort of part ways, and they were kicking the tires on Aaron Gordon trades at the trade deadline, if you believe these reports, so... I think there's definitely San Antonio makes some sense. There's a lot of teams that make sense. And interestingly enough, I didn't have anybody on my list trading for Aaron Gordon. But Sacramento, pretty simple. Go ahead and just draft Aaron Naismith out of Vanderbilt. Looks like you're going to be moving on from Buddy Hield. And if not, you probably should be. He doesn't seem very happy. And you don't want that. And he's got a loud voice in that locker room. Right. You don't want that becoming a problem there, especially as a lot of new management takes over. Just go ahead and draft Aaron Naismith. Everything you read about this guy, he's a hard worker. He's on the court. He could stretch the floor. He can guard a bunch of different positions. He's got a lot more potential defensively than Buddy Hield did. Might not be as great a three-point shooter as Buddy Hield is, but as far as a clean fit next to De'Aaron Fox, who's the guy you're building around, it's very clean. And you're going to have him on a rookie-scale contract. Go ahead, move on from Buddy Hield. You're going to be able to trade him for quite a bit. People love three-point shooting. Go ahead and trade Buddy Hield, get a bunch of assets in return, and then pair Aaron Naismith next to De'Aaron Fox, and boom, you've got your backcourt of the future.
Yeah, a team that I'm going to be talking about next, the Philadelphia 76ers, could probably use a guy like Hield. I think we talked about that in the most recent episode. But another thing that we talked about, kind of a little weak on my part, but I think they should add a guy like Chris Paul to the 76ers roster. I don't know if that's likely. That relationship with Morey, probably a good one, I think, from everything we've heard. It's a lot more solid than we had previously expected. And if that's the case, you get a guy like Paul to really stabilize that. We saw what he did with a raw, talented group in Oklahoma City. He's always won. If there's, you can knock Paul for a million things, but not his commitment to winning. And it's to the point where it makes him kind of an asshole that a lot of people don't like. But at the same time, he's not about winning friendships. He's about winning games. And so you can kind of cement that roster that's got so much talent with Embiid and Ben Simmons. And I think it just makes a lot of sense to bring that veteran presence. I'm sure it's not possible. You probably have to throw Al Horford at Oklahoma City, and I don't see any reason why they'd want that. It's just kind of theoretical here. But a guy like Paul makes a lot of sense on a team like Philadelphia.
Speaking of Philadelphia, I've got San Antonio here. I think they should see if Philly has any interest in DeMar DeRozan.
Ooh.
I think Chris Paul would be obviously the number one option for them for a lot of reasons. You mentioned the Doc Rivers connection, Daryl Morey connection. If you could piece together, it probably requires a third team in any sort of Thunder trade,
yeah,
right, to take Al Horford or Tobias Harris or whoever. But if anything short of Chris Paul, and that, I think what is so valuable about Chris Paul is just what he did for the Thunder last year and just pushing them to win games. DeMar DeRozan doesn't have that killer instinct, but he does at least have something else that they're missing, and that's just this shot creation ability that they've missed since Jimmy Butler left. DeMar DeRozan, poor man's Jimmy Butler a little bit, definitely not what Jimmy Butler is on the defensive end, but certainly has some of that mid-range flair, some of that shot creating ability in the mid and on offense. Go ahead and see what it takes to get DeMar DeRozan. If it's just taking on Tobias Harris's contract, that's not that bad if you're San Antonio. And then if you're the Spurs, call Detroit and DeMar DeRozan's old coach, Dwayne Casey. See what it would take. Would they be willing to trade the number 7 pick for DeMar DeRozan? Maybe it's number 7 for DeMar DeRozan and number 12 or wherever it is that they're picking. That might be something that you could build around. If you're Detroit, you probably have to throw in a few more things, but they've got nice pieces. Luke Kennard, other guys that San Antonio might be interested in. That's what I would do from the Spurs. It's time to sort of move on. You're rebuilding. Just admit it. You got to move on from DeMar DeRozan.
Speaking of moving on, I think the Toronto Raptors should do the exact opposite, and their best move is to bring back Marcus Gasol. We already talked about potentially signing Fred VanVleet again. I'm not sure how likely that is, but if you can keep VanVleet, you can keep Lowry. You don't have to move him. You can re-sign Serge Ibaka. However unlikely all those scenarios are, bring back Gasol. Look, this team is going to go through a lot next season. We're not sure how that's going to like how they're even going to be able to play out the 72-game regular season. They might be stuck in Canada. They might play a chunk of their games there. They might have to move over here to an arena somewhere in New York. Have a stabilizing presence. Have a guy that's familiar, that can keep things light, that you built a championship-winning team with, that is part of that culture there. Even though he's only been with the team for a couple seasons, it feels like he's a natural fit that has been great for camaraderie and everything else. And I really like the idea of just kind of keeping things together, because it's going to be a tough year for them. And so you might as well just keep the personalities intact, because that's kind of what's been your strength over the last couple of seasons. When you were getting eliminated by LeBron James, or you weren't able to get over the hump on your way to a championship, you get a good team with a lot of good personalities, and Gasol is certainly one of them.
I know that, you know, Toronto's not, and the Masai Ujiri school is not to tank, right? They are going to stay competitive. They're more in that Miami Heat type of mindset. And you know, interestingly enough, the Heat and the Raptors are, and by the way, the Mavericks are like this too, are all the teams that are sort of in the running for Giannis, right, in 2021. Right. I think if you're Toronto, you maintain that cap space, you bring everybody back at on one-year deals, and you go to the playoffs, and, you know, maybe you're able to re-sign them with bird rights or early bird rights after you sign Giannis. If you do sign Giannis, by the way, also a free agent in 2021, Kawhi Leonard. He's already played with those guys. I'm joking. Not really, but I am. my last team here, David, is Utah. It's really hard to figure out what they should do. I know that there's some scuttle about maybe trading Rudy Gobert and not quite blowing it up, but rebuilding, reconstituting that roster around Donovan Mitchell. Maybe that makes sense, but it's so hard to find a trade out there that actually makes them better by moving Rudy Gobert. He's extension eligible. I think what they end up doing is they find up maybe settle somewhere below the ultimate max that Rudy Gobert can sign. You keep that. You know, you keep your defensive anchor there, you keep your offensive anchor and Donovan Mitchell there, and you just keep trying to build around those guys. You try to improve just by being healthy and just with natural development and time. And so for them, I think it's time for them to take a swing in the draft. They sort of remind me of where Denver was a year or two ago when they took Michael Porter Jr. No obvious way to improve the roster. You just kind of need time to let guys grow and get better. If you're the Jazz, go ahead and take a swing on a guy like Jaden McDaniels or Killian Tilly. Guys with, you know, spotty history for whatever reason, but have this just tremendous upside that they haven't been able to tap into. Very much like what the Nuggets did in taking Michael Porter Jr. I think if you're the Jazz, you try to make a similar type of move. You've got a late pick in this draft. Go ahead and take a swing, because right now it's the only way. If you're being patient, which I think they should be, it's a way for that move can end up paying off down the line.
My last team, the Washington Wizards. Look, when you think about that team, you think about John Wall potentially coming back. You think about Bradley Beal, whether or not he gets traded. Well, in my scenario, he does. I'm sorry, Wizards fans. It's time to move on. You're not sure if Wall's ever going to be at 100%. It looks like he's healthy during the offseason. He's looked like he's been healthy over the last few seasons, and he hasn't been. I just don't think it's realistic to put all your hopes on John Wall being the player he once was. And so if that's the case, you might as well just kind of try and retool, rebuild. And that's why you trade Bradley Beal and maybe re-sign Davis Bertans and trade them both to the Portland Trailblazers in exchange for CJ McCollum, Zach Collins, and perhaps a draft pick or two. In Washington's case, you get another big, and Collins, who has some potential. He's had some issues with injury himself, but I think he's got the right talent there. He provides a presence in the interior that the Wizards certainly need. McCollum, you get another complimentary guard, a guy who can make plays for others and can stretch the floor as well. And you get a couple picks to help build some of that talent, because you're clearly missing some. And I think you can just kind of maintain a semblance of trying to keep alive in the playoff push. And at the same time, for the Trailblazers, you help bring some talent there, a guy like Beal who can complement Dame Lillard, a guy like Bertans who can stretch the floor as well. So I think it's a great fit for both teams.
Yeah, it was reported on Monday that Davis Bertans, there's a lot of potential suitors, a lot of people that want Davis Bertans this season. It could be somebody that just signs him into cap space, maybe some of these contending teams offering some sort of sign and trade type of solution. Davis Bertans is going to be a one man this fall.
And I'll add, I have no idea if that actually works in any way, shape, or form. But at the same time, that's not what this is about. It's about having fun and saying little things that can improve every team, and of course, pissing off all 30 fan bases.
Hopefully we did that. Look, I thought it could have been a train wreck. It wasn't, you know. I thought we got through all 30 teams rather efficiently. It was pretty good.
Yeah. Let's not jump to any conclusions. Well, I'm sure our comments will reflect otherwise.
Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On NBA wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show or bad things about the show, depending on how you feel. Thanks to Built Go for sponsoring today's episode. Thanks for listening. Stay safe.